He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to our listeners for this week's version of Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin, Robin Leach, and sometimes Mike, who's listening in to make sure we say the right things. Let's talk about the automotive industry in the terms of current sales at situations which seem to be brewing, maybe only at Stellantis, which Jay DeMarkin brought up in a recent show as being problematical, but maybe not. The question is, it's related to an article I wrote that read recently that said that Jeep had shut down the production line temporarily on the Jeep Wranglers because they were piling up on the storage lots once they come off the assembly line, and apparently on Jeep dealers' lots around wherever they did their research for that particular part of the story. I have not heard of any other assembly lines shutting down in other parts or other manufacturers' car lines, but the Jeep Wranglers have been a very popular vehicle in the Jeep lineup for years, but I'm wondering whether or not if the sales have really, well, they haven't cratered, but they've certainly stumbled. Of Jeep Wranglers is exclusive to the Jeep line of vehicles, or whether it's foreboding, you know, it's forecasting something that may be spreading to other areas in the automotive industry.
Well, I think we know that Jeep dealers, Chrysler dealers, are not very happy with their CEO and over the pond management, but I think the Wrangler is just one of the, I'm going to say, problems. You know, right now the Jeep brand is just not selling as well as it did. Overall sales in 2024 are way down for the Chrysler Group, and basically that means Jeep sales, because what else is there?
Well, there's been
three cars that Chrysler still makes other than the Jeeps.
5 years they've been declining in sales.
Well, no, last year was, I mean, Jeep had a great year last year, had a few great years. And actually, from what I read, you know, a week or two ago, the Chrysler Group has been basically funding the whole international operation, the Stellantis Group. So slow sales here in the U.S. and less cash flow here is a huge problem for the Stellantis Group. And Carlos Tavares is actually... getting slightly worried about it. The Jeep Wrangler in particular, and why are sales down? I don't know. Maybe it's just that these vehicles are a bit of a novelty. And to be frank, I mean, if you've ridden in a Wrangler or a Ford Bronco, for that matter, they're not the most user-friendly vehicles on a day-to-day basis on paved roads. That's my opinion anyway. They're not, you know, they're noisy. They're just not... not very fuel efficient. The car variants are usually a better proposition.
Yes, and they don't have car variants really in the Chrysler. There's no longer a Chrysler branded vehicle except for maybe the Town and Country minivan. There used to be the Chrysler 300, and
there
were a couple other models, and they no longer build that. They have got
The Charger is gone. The Challenger
gone. Well, it's coming out, isn't it? The Charger coming out as a Charger in electric form, or is it a different name? I can't remember.
Charger would be. Maybe it's going to be Charged.
But know, I will. Yeah, but I will. I will say that they have introduced, and we did briefly. I might have briefly mentioned the Hornet in a previous show, and I have since gone and seen the Hornet. I am not impressed with, A, its looks, B, the color selections that I saw at the particular dealer I visited, except for the red one, which was on the showroom floor. No, it was a blue one, I think, on the showroom floor. And I don't think that car is going to go anywhere fast, although they have a fairly high performance, but interesting performance level of that vehicle, which is designed to make it be sporty as a driver vehicle. But if you want to go buy a chocolate brown car anywhere, go buy a Hornet, because that, the dealer that I visited that had the blue one on the showroom floor, and maybe there was a red one around, there was one of each if that was it, had a half a dozen, not quite chocolate brown, but brown, boring color versions of this same new car that I believe is built maybe in Italy. And it comes,
I'm sure it's a Fiat-based product, right?
But it just is not interesting. And I do not know who in Stellantis designed that car and how they got it through into production. But there it is. So, yes, maybe there's some bad decisions being – there may be some bad decisions being made in the Stellantis group industry, you know, vehicles. But you're right about the Wrangler and the Broncos. They are not particularly comfortable long trip cars to drive on the interstates or the regular roads. They are noisy, especially in the fabric top versions, and which flap and don't have any insulation between the outside and inside as far as sound deadening materials go. And they get generally miserable gas mileage for those who even care about it if they have vehicles like this. The Jeep Wrangler 4E is the most efficient one, and that has a partial battery-only range of low 20s to mid-20s if fully charged when you start up in the morning, and then it goes between the gasoline engine part of it and the battery part of it, as do hybrid vehicles other than Jeeps. But hybrid vehicles are much more efficient if they are passenger cars than any of the Jeeps or Broncos-type vehicles, and they're not going to get any better anytime soon. And maybe that's what's hitting, along with high interest rates for financing, the sales of these particular models of vehicles.
So, Robin, what are the deals out there now? You know, August, September.
Well, the manufacturers are famous for being able to offer 0% financing on certain vehicles for 3 to 5 years, and you don't get any cash discounts if you take those. You have to be excellently you have to have excellent credit rating to be able to get those 0% deals. But if you're not being able to get those 0% financing, you will not find any 0% financing through banks.
Well, 0% financing.
And I believe the interest rates are between 5% and 7% through normal banks. I don't know what specific banks are actually offering, but for new vehicles, but I think they're at 5% or higher, which with vehicles costing probably averaging $40,000 and up as opposed to $40,000 and down, you do the math, if monthly payments are quite high.
Yes. So can you still find cars under $40,000?
Yes, you can. I think the new Chevy Equinox? Is that the EV? Is that $39,995 or am I $10,000 short? That's a hybrid.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I just looked at the list of cars. You can still buy a small car, a compact car.
Oh, Nissan's got a small car.
Less than $30,000. You know, in the
that's correct. There are a few.
These
hybrid Priuses are in the 30s. Many models, or some models.
Yes, the Prius starts under $30,000. And I have to say, you know how I've said for many years that the Prius was among the ugliest vehicles on the planet. We don't see as many Priuses or Prii or whatever, however you want to say the plural of Prius, as we used to. But the new Prius really looks really, really good. It's a good-looking vehicle. It's a good-looking car.
And it's so good-looking that I don't recognize it as easily as I recognize the old Prius versions. And I will counter your last comment saying you don't see as many on there. I've seen quite a few old Priuses out there. I am sure that people who are buying used old Priuses are getting them for under $20,000. Because I would say many of them have over 100,000 miles. I know nothing about the battery life of the used ones, but they are still very high-mileage cars. And for people who can't afford, you know, even a $20,000 or $30,000 new car, they are a good alternative.
They are. I think the first and second generation Prius was odd looking. Not as the last one before the current model was really, in my opinion, ugly, and it is an opinion only. But the first, the second generation Prius was just odd looking, different for the, they wanted to look different. And they're out there as used cars, and I think you can find them at a very good price, and they're a smart vehicle to buy if you're on a budget, for sure.
Well, back to the industry situation. I would say that the manufacturer that's got the best lineup of vehicles right now and are remaining very popular in terms of the numbers of sales is Toyota. they've got pretty much hybrid versions of, if not every line of cars, most of the lines of cars. And I recently bumped into somebody who has had a two-year-old Toyota Highlander hybrid, and he is so thrilled with that car. He used to drive more expensive vehicles. He says he gets an average of 38 miles per gallon. Anybody who knows what the Toyota Highlander model looks like, it's a pretty big, mostly two-row passenger car vehicle, SUV-type vehicle, which can carry a lot of luggage along with six people. And they have a Grand Highlander out now, which is a three-row version of it. But he goes to Florida several times, back and forth several times a year, and he says he averages 38 miles a gallon on his trips. And as a result of that, he says he gets better mileage down in Florida just driving around locally. And for to get 38-plus miles a gallon at that level is pretty good for that car. Jay, you take over.
Speaking of Toyota Highlander, and I had just noticed a few weeks ago only, and it seems to have popped up pretty quietly, the Lexus version of the Highlander, the Lexus TX, I didn't even know existed until very recently, and I'm actually just looking at it now. So it's a luxury version of the Highlander, and it looks pretty good. It's pretty pretty discreet. Like all, well, the front end is not so discreet, but it has that big shark grill that the Lexus has. But it's the luxury version of the Highlander, and it's probably a great two or three row SUV. I don't know much about it, but the powertrains are, gas or hybrid or plug-in hybrid, like all Toyota vehicles. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention it. I had never heard about it.
I do not know anything about it, but it's a Toyota-based vehicle, so it's got to be good.
Well, there you go. You seem to be drinking the Kool-Aid. I think that Toyota has, it's not for no reason that they were, if not still are, the number one auto manufacturer in the world. And they have a presence in all markets, and their offerings differ from continent to continent. And, you've talked about this when you went to Africa. You see a lot of...
Oh, my God, yes, absolutely. I mean, there are versions of the old Land Cruiser in different variations and sizes and wheelbase lengths and all used. It's pretty much, I would say, the safari vehicle used in Africa, at least where I was. There wasn't a Nissan or a Range Rover or anything like that being used where the tourist companies are there.
But they
go through a lot of abuse on the roads carrying the people that they carry. And because they're so strongly built, frames are very heavy duty. I'm sure the springs and the suspensions are very heavy duty, and therefore that's weight. And then you pile it in with 6 to 8 tourists and bounce around the roads on the safaris, which you can do if they drive fast, or all the roads are dirt in the outbacks there. They have to withstand a lot of abuse.
But even in this, even here in our market in the U.S., you look at the everything they offer. They still have the Toyota Corolla that's been built for, I don't know, 100 years? No, I'm exaggerating.
And they've got a performance version, which is apparently quite an interesting vehicle. It reminds me of the Cortinas of the past.
Yeah, well, they make the Corolla. They make the, which has the sport version, the GR version of it. They make a couple sports cars, the GR86 and the Toyota Supra.
Okay.
So they have sports cars, compact cars. They have, they still have it, and you know the car, the Camry sedan. They don't seem to have station wagons anymore, and I'm just, you know.
Well, the Venza. Yeah, you're right. A Venza is like a minivan or type of vehicle. They do not have station wagons.
They
unlike
have
the Crown. Do you want the Crown and wagon at some
SUVs.
Point?
Anyway, enough about Toyota.
Well, they were slow, and but Toyota didn't rush to the electric, drink the electric Kool-Aid the way the American manufacturers did, and the way a couple of the European manufacturers did. They were they stuck with the hybrids and watched the electric industry come online and see how successful they were, and they are slowly embracing some of the electric, total electric cars. But I haven't seen an all electric Toyota yet.
There is one, at least
in the U.S.
I always forget the name. That's the problem. The joint venture with the Subaru, the one that's Subaru and the Toyota.
Okay, well, I don't know it for our listeners.
It's, you know, it's average. Their better offering is out there, especially for...
I have been seeing more Tesla trucks around. It's interesting. I've got to find out whether Tesla actually paints them as an alternative to delivering every one of them in stainless steel, or where
they're
wraps.
They're wrapped.
A white one has been seen. A black one has been seen. I think those are the only two non-stainless steel colors alternatives that I've seen on the road. Until I learn more about it, that's all I know, that you can get Teslas or trucks in different colors, whether you have to do it or whether Tesla's doing it.
Well, they privately do the wrapping. Tesla doesn't do wrapping.
No, I understand that, but I haven't gotten close enough to the white one or the black one to see whether it was paint.
No, it's not paint. No, it will never be paint. You can't paint
those. They've been on the road.
You can't paint them.
I don't know that you can't paint them. I'm not aware that you can't paint stainless steel.
Go buy a piece of stainless steel and try to paint
them. Yeah, there you go. That's all I can say. By the way, when you were talking about the Toyota electric EV, that's redundant.
Yep. Go ahead.
It's called the BZ4X. That's why you didn't remember it.
That's why nobody knows what it is or remembers the name. Thank you very much. Now I remember.
What a ridiculous name for a car.
Well, I agree. That's a ridiculous name, and I'll probably forget it.
Just be honest. You just Googled it while we were...
Well, that's fine, but he does that.
Sit here doing a little research while you guys are talking about things.
I've heard nothing about any tests of it. Jay, you might have, but I haven't. I don't know what the range is. I don't know anything about it.
It does everything average. It's pretty much the bottom line.
Yeah, it says the range is about 236 miles.
Average.
She's starting out at a base of 43,000.
Average.
Yep.
And two-door?
You can trim it up.
Four-door.
It's a four-door, yeah. Okay. It's a sport utility vehicle kind of looking thing. I don't like the look of it. I'm sitting here looking at it. It looks weird and tacky.
It is.
It's got too many lines and stuff in it. It's like a nightmare of somebody just trying to put so many curves into a vehicle to where you just completely lose it. And now it looks like some crazy person put this thing together.
Well, that gets us into the discussion about the designs of some of these cars that are coming out and people's ideas of what's coming forth in the electric car world, where I see more crazy designs. Partly for aerodynamic reasons, and maybe just for show and go. One that I do like, however, is a Soleil, Soolei, and it's got electric. It's an electric convertible concept that Cadillac has got photos out on, which appears to be very attractive, in my opinion. Whether it'll ever make it to the market or not. Remains to be seen. We have not seen any hybrid vehicles in convertible form that I know of by any manufacturer, although maybe Mercedes might be working on one. Convertibles have a different frame structure, I guess, because of the convertible top mechanisms that have to go in.
You bring up a good point. It is surprising, and, you know, convertibles are, you know, somewhat of a niche vehicle. Actually, most convertibles are based on a sedan, right?
Yeah.
But you would think where electric cars are basically a very solid platform, right? It's basically a plank, yeah, where they put all the heavy stuff. You know, the electric batteries are part of the structure. You would think that it would be easy to build a convertible EV, and you would think that, you know, it is one thing if you're, you know, cruising down the highway or the beachway, you would want a quiet vehicle and just be able to hear the wind and noise and the birds, and yet I cannot think of an electric convertible.
I don't believe there is one. But the Cadillac, I believe, is all electric, if it ever makes it to Soleil. I'm looking
it's
at the picture of it
I
now.
Mean, Cadillac is notorious for, well, no, they'll bring concept vehicles to the market. It'll
well, they were going to go all electric, I think, by some saying. I think they've pulled back, which brings to a point that Volvo also was speeding towards going all electric. And they have pulled back and have are now working on increasing their line of hybrid variants of their vehicles as opposed to just electric variants. So this goes to the continuing discussion of where the electric world is going. There's no question that the electric world is going to increase. Sales are up. After we say sales are down, they go up a little bit. But there's an emphasis on cheaper electric vehicles, which is what they probably should have started out with in the beginning. But
no,
they were going the other way.
That way. Trickle-down technology means you start with high-end, expensive stuff, and then prices go down. And then
they're working on the convertibles. Fiat has the 500e Cabrio.
Maybe
Fiat
the Mini Cooper's got an electric convertible. They have an electric vehicle.
They're advertising Porsche 718 EV available in both hardtop and convertible. That's available now. So
yeah, well, they're
expensive. Out there. Tesla Roadster. I forgot about that
one. Well, that's what got Tesla started. That was
the first production
car.
Sent that into space.
Was an EV convertible, and that was it was a Lotus Elise. But that car is no longer made. It takes about $100,000 to find one on the used market. I think let's switch over a little bit to our safety topic. And we talked about bicycle safety, and I want to start out by a little anecdote and something I saw this weekend, which was kind of a first for me. I was driving down on the Hutch, and coming the other way, there was pretty much a brand-new Corvette C8 in the right lane, moving fairly slowly, but it was towing a cyclist. So there was a guy on a bicycle on the Hutch being pulled along the Hutch by a Corvette C8.
Where was the police getting them off the road?
They were not there. It was a first to me, and it just...
That's an extraordinary sight to have seen.
It was a first.
I would not want to be pulled by any vehicle. The Corvette must have been going very slow, because I don't know how fast you can pull a bicycle safely without the wheels wobbling or the...
Have you never caught up on and held a car and go along with it?
No, never.
Nope.
I don't recommend it. Okay, just to be clear, but yes.
Thank you, Jay. Don't try it.
Jay's the wild guy in the bunch.
We are lucky in our area. I talked with some Salisbury ambulance volunteers over the weekend, and they were saying no, they have not been called for any kids cycling crash, yet. And that's a good thing. But we've talked about, you know, safety on bicycles and what you can do and the problem with e-bikes and kids on e-bikes. And so I did do a little research on the rules and regulations and the laws on e-bikes.
Let's hear it, because I want to know if there are speed laws, because nobody's going to ever be reinforcing that, as far as I can tell.
What's that?
If there are any speed laws about electric bikes, that's about as ridiculous as saying you can't own a gun, because you're never going to be able to enforce. Nobody's going to enforce over the radar these electric bikes that are going along at frightening speeds, like up to 40 miles an hour in one case.
Well, hold on. So there are three classes of e-bikes, and that's kind of a federal thing. There, class one are e-bikes that are limited to 20 miles an hour, and where you only get battery power if you are pedaling. The class two bikes, which are probably what you see a lot of the kids around here on, are same thing, limited to 20 miles an hour, but as long as you have battery juice, you can the vehicle will self-propel, so you do not have to be pedaling to be moving. Okay. And then the class three e-bikes are same as the class two, but they're limited to 28 miles an hour. So really, the fastest e-bikes you should see on the road are limited to 28 miles an hour. Having said that, it is fairly easy to make them go faster. But back to the safety and where they should be or not be. No, you do not need a license to ride an e-bike. So kids under 16 can ride an e-bike. You don't need
anybody can ride an e-bike. You're saying
yes. And the rules as far as helmet wearing are the same.
That's
kids
in the public.
Kids under 16 have to wear helmets just like they do on a bicycle.
That's on a public highway. They're allowed to ride those bikes.
They are. They are not allowed to ride on
sidewalks.
The rules on pathways and trails, like we have a lot around in our neck of the woods, are a little less clear. I've read in some instances that they are allowed. Some are allowed only if there are signs, you know, local ordinances that allow them to be traveled by e-bikes. So it's a little more of a gray area, but basically no sidewalks. You have to wear a helmet if you're under 16. You have to, if you are going on a road that is where the speed limit is over 20 miles an hour, you have to ride with traffic, so you have to be riding on the right side of the road.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to obey all traffic laws. Same thing for bicycles. You can't go through stop signs and red lights.
Yeah. We need to look at a closing here, guys. We've used up our time.
That's fine. to the bicycle situation,
no, let's just
all drivers in cars and vehicles should watch out for bicycles. I think all bicycles should have lights on them. I went by a bicycle this morning. It was in the shadows, and I barely saw it. And it was going the same direction I was going. And traffic was coming the other way, and I was not able to veer a little bit out away from it. And so, drivers, you need to watch yourself and watch out for vehicles other than you, bicyclists or even walkers, that are walking the same direction. And don't take your eyes off the road.
Everybody have a great week.
See you next
week.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.